question is not whether we've got the solutions to our challenges. We've had them within our grasp for quite some time.
You mentioned it was a tough decision. I don't think it was a tough decision.
Tony Katz.
It's time to start making decisions. You have waited long enough.
Did he have any enemies? Well, the Democrats didn't like him.
This is an extremely important issue.
This is the Tony Katz Show.
Jatim, Tony, I love your show. Keep it up, baby.
It's Tony Katz tonight. Good to be with all of you, everybody. 800-571-9422. Oh, look at that. My computer just went on a little bit of the fritz right there. That was absolutely nuts. That was absolutely silly. Oh, look. In studio, in his own studio, it's Cam Edwards.
In the guest position.
In the guest position no in your less. Own studio here at NRA News. Good to see you, man.
Feeling a little beta right now, but that's all right. I'm just being a good host.
No. You're doing fine. You're
on camera.
You're on camera and everything. A little washed out, but we'll figure that out. 800-571-9422, locally 317-239-9393, online, tonykatz.com. Click on the radio show link, quite literally says, the radio show. Are you stunned by our technological
I love how you bring your own camera.
Yeah, well, I don't have you, man.
We
look
have
at
like
this
three.
Set.
We have three in here.
Can I show people the set? Like, can I spin it
sure,
around?
Spin it around.
All right, so if you're watching at tonykatz.com.
Folks to the duck.
Boom. All right, so this is just part of the there's Cameron Gray right there on the screen back in the control room.
This is scintillating radio, by the way.
Part of it. I mean, no, people should be watching
theater
it.
Of the mind.
com. Listen, theater of the mind is great, but nothing beats good technology. That's all I'm saying.
We have a duck.
That's
for those
all
of you
I'm saying.
Can't see
That's
this.
True.
We call him Howard.
That's true. There's a lot here. We're going to get to it. I will, however, say before anything that the. Ladies and gentlemen, the lottery is at $636 million.
Oh.
Buy your tickets now. I'm not promoting the gambling, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I am a promoter of gambling. I am saying that you should buy your lottery tickets right now. That's all I'm saying. I know we've got a lot of people on the phones. We will get to everybody. I absolutely promise. But I told you that I would have a conversation about the Colorado shooter. And I think it's great to be with you, Cam, and to have that conversation, because these are the subjects that you delve into every day. Cam and Company at NRANews.com and SiriusXM. And when people talk about gun rights and inalienable rights when something happens, you immediately have to deal with the blame the NRA crowd. But in this shooting, one of the things that happened, and not the shooting itself, was the press and their desire to cover up the reality of this kid. This kid who, you know, when you see it and something happen like this and act like this, you see the immediate push to, oh, he must have been the right wing. Oh, he must have been a member of the Tea Party. You know,
right.
You see the Brian Rosses of ABC do that kind of stuff. But yet, more and more, the stories come out that no, they're not on the right. They're not on the political right. They're actually on the political left. And this kid, he was a kid, was clearly a part of that, had these views that he espoused to others and on Facebook, socialist, if you will, the Denver Post, scrubbing that from his own background.
Mm-hmm.
I talked earlier about propaganda, and I ask you, as a guy who's really much more in touch with this than I am. Is this propaganda?
It is as you say, it is an unwillingness to address painful truths for the media. Now, look, I think honestly, in most of these cases, it doesn't matter where on the political spectrum these individuals lie, because it's not that these individuals were politically motivated. They're driven by some deeper demons. Than what we find in, the ordinary everyday politics. But as you say, in every one of these cases, and Gabriel Mellor at Ace of Spades did a really good job compiling a list, while we know this and we understand this, the media continues to ignore that fact. And every time one of these tragic stories comes to light, the media immediately starts looking for the angle, the political angle of, all right, is this guy a conservative? Is this person on the right? Are they a Tea Partier?
And you see it so often, right. So clearly.
And again, rarely are they able to say yes. When the answer is no, all of a sudden the question becomes unimportant.
Right.
So why was it important to begin with? Either it is important or it is not. Now, most of the time, again, I would say the answer is that it is not important. But the media will not acknowledge this inconsistency. And I think that this was an attempt that we saw by so many folks to simply ask the media, explain yourself here.
Right.
What is your position? Is this important? And if it is, then why is it not important as a guy who you perhaps agree with politically?
And that's the whole subject. The subject is they take it away from the shooting. They take it away from the mental illness, or as we were discussing earlier, and one of the reasons that I'm glad you're here, the whole idea of parenting and the whole idea of a kid deciding that he was disappointed, he was kicked off a debate team, so his answer, his default response was a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those are the conversations that we should be having, but instead we're forced to have the conversation of a propaganda-driven press that is far more interested in their ideology. And gun owners suffer the brunt of that ideology more than any other group of people who have absolutely no association here, who have absolutely nothing to do with what took place there in Centennial.
Gun owners and again, conservatives generally speaking, because, you know, go back to Brian Ross and what did he do? I mean, he was looking for the Tea Party membership, right? Now, I'm sure that they would be looking for an NRA membership. Do they donate money to Republican candidates? Did they donate money to Tony Katz tonight? They help fund Tony Katz tonight? I mean, those are the questions that they're asking, and those are the questions that they're looking for. And again, I would just suggest that in most of these cases, the demons that are driving these individuals are not found in the realm of politics. It goes deeper than that. In this case, as you say, it appears this was a 18-year-old who was kicked off of the debate team. The sheriff today said apparently there were other additional targets that this young man had apparently chosen, but he didn't get into great detail about this. But as you say, this is not a rational response in any way, shape, or form. So we're not dealing with a rational person.
Right.
Politics, it might be frustrating, but on some level, it's rational, even if it's irrationally rational, if that makes sense. This type of behavior, this type of response to being kicked off a debate team, that's not rational. That's not even irrationally rational. So, again, I'd love to see the media actually decide, okay, maybe we don't immediately try to figure out whether or not this person was a member of a Tea Party group. Maybe we don't try to make ourselves feel better by trying to cast this monster as a political opponent of ours. And maybe instead we just try to, I don't know, cover the damn story while it's a breaking news story.
And
maybe not cover up what we find.
I tied this in to a story I discussed earlier where President Obama met with tech CEOs. The CEOs were there to talk about one thing. That was the NSA. Mm-hmm. That was the spying. That is the undue interference. That is the tampering on the technology side. President Obama made sure to pepper in conversations about Obamacare so when Jay Carney did his press briefing, he could say that the president spoke with tech CEOs about the Obamacare website, and now you have CBS running that story in that way, and you've got, you know, those kind of pool stories, right? They don't attribute it to anybody. They just put them out there, and they're on little news feeds everywhere, that he met with tech CEOs to talk about how well the website's going. It's a full propaganda campaign from beginning to end. But I want you to stick around because you had started a conversation that I think that parents will be into, which is this kid got disappointed. He got kicked off the debate team and went for a shotgun.
And how does that happen in America? Because that should be the story that we're talking about. Not this propaganda for scrubbing his information, trying to sell their agenda more than the news.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a conversation here about how a kid gets to that point and maybe where parenting could have a role to making that better. Keep it right here. Cam Edwards is here. This is Tony Katz Tonight. This music,
but I like it.
I know, this is sweet love making music right here.
Well, we're gonna be talking about parenting, right?
Well, that's how it starts, the sweet love making.
That's right,
with a Tony song Katz called Tonight, Vultures.
What's it called?
It's called Vultures.
Well, if you're doing the sweet love making right, sure. Tony Katz Tonight, 317-239-9393, online, TonyKatz.com, joined in studio by the host of NRAnews.com, Cam Edwards. Good. Thank you, by the way, for letting me use the studio. Love it.
My pleasure. I know? Nobody actually asked, but
I absolutely asked.
Not me, but I totally would have said yes.
Oh, would you? Do these things have to be cleared by you?
No, not really. Apparently not.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm not here, so,
right.
You know. Mi studio es su studio.
Wow, that was done in Spanish, everybody.
And Phil Collins es su studio.
No, we don't talk about su studio on this program. We went through this. Su studio is out. Never bring up su studio again. There's a girl that's been on your mind. Don't care. Don't even want to know about her.
Sorry about that. Sore subject.
Paige, he brought up su studio. Is that
just... Oh, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the visceral hatred.
Is that just stellar? I was talking to you, Cam, earlier before we got on the air, and we were talking about this subject. You're asking what I was going to do on the show, and I was mm-hmm. going to discuss this. And you immediately went into one of the places people know you as. I mean, I'm not trying to disparage what you do, but in any way, shape, or form, they know you as the gun guy,
right?
But they don't. The things that they don't know about you is the other things that you write about or that you talk about or the kind of things that you study and the things that you believe in and how you actually left the D.C. area, mm-hmm. and moved to the southern part of Virginia, more central, I should say, part of Virginia, and basically bought yourself a farm.
Yes.
To kind of, and it was twofold. It's kind of interesting. I want you to explain it. It was to A, reestablish your own life, but also to reestablish yourself in some ways as a father, as a parent, and kind of showing your own kids a better life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've actually been over the last couple of months, because it's been about a year now since we moved in, and I've been trying to put on paper sort of my explanation to my kids, for my kids,
right.
about, you know, why we screwed up their life by moving from the suburbs and moving to the middle of nowhere. You know, the answer was I grew up in the suburbs. I mean, I'm a child of the suburbs. That's pretty much where I've lived my entire life. Grew up in the suburbs of Oklahoma City, which I imagine is very similar to the suburbs of Indianapolis, where, by the way, we'll be for the NRA annual meeting.
I will be there as well. It's going to be fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to it. So we moved to D.C. in 2004, started NRA News. We're here in the D.C. suburbs. Loved the place that we lived. It was a nice, you know, 35-year-old house. We had great neighbors. I mean, the neighborhood was nothing special, but we had great neighbors, military community, made a lot of friends. But as time went on, you know, my show was 9 to midnight.
Right.
And
that's a lot pretty well.
And yeah, and so, you know, it can get tough. I used to have to go into work about a half hour before I would see my kids or before my kids would get off the bus.
Right.
And when my twins were born, it was great because I was able to be home with them all day long. And then all of a sudden they started kindergarten and it was very weird and very odd. And so the work schedule was tough. The neighborhood itself was tough because we rented our home.
Mm-hmm.
DC's real estate prices are insane, right?
It's just another reason to move to Indianapolis.
Exactly. And so we liked the neighborhood, but we couldn't afford to buy there. And so we were sort of in this catch-22 where, right. you know, we felt like we weren't really getting ahead. We wanted to buy, but we couldn't afford to buy where we were. And so then that meant we were going to have to move and going to have to change. And we thought, okay, well, what's really at work here? You know, what are we really missing out on? What
right.
we really realized that we were missing out on is...
Trying to cut away the fluff and get to what is the heart of our issue.
And what we really decided what we were missing is the ability to sort of own our lives. You know, we were living in an HOA. We looked out our front door and we could see 14 other neighbors. And we loved them, don't get us wrong.
Right.
But, you know, we had no feeling of personal space and really a lack of personal responsibility. I was responsible for a very tiny patch of land that I had to, you know, make sure it was mowed every week. Mm-hmm. It took me 20 minutes. At the same time, I felt like I wasn't necessarily living up to my responsibilities as a husband and as a father. So we just decided, let's do something crazy. And let's just see, you know, what we can get if we look outside of D.C.
And you go to this farm. You get this farm and you discuss the responsibilities of a father. And that's really, I mean, I want people to understand your story a little bit. Maybe not everybody is familiar with you, although they should be. And you can follow him on Twitter at Cam Edwards, CamEdwards. But you were talking about this kid in Colorado, this shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And the responsibility of fathers, because you were bringing up, I think, a unique stat with what's happening with some of these shootings.
Yeah, there was a piece, I think it was a National Review, I think it was David French, and he talked about in a lot of these school shootings over the past 2 or 3 years, the shooter, his parents have gotten divorced, and his parents have gotten divorced pretty recently, within a few years of this happening. So the author, you know, asks the question, you know, is there to this? Clearly not that, you know, look, if you get divorced, your kids are going to turn out to be monsters. That's not what the suggestion was.
Right.
But it is interesting to note that there is a lack of a father figure present in a lot of these young men's lives. And whether it's as simple as another set of eyes and another caring parent to possibly pick up on some of the warning signs, or maybe there's something there. You know, look, I just know with my wife and I's relationship, my wife is very maternal. She is very, she wants to protect our kids, right? And in some cases, maybe you turn a blind eye because you want to protect your kid. You don't want to think that something is really wrong and that, oh my gosh, what could this mean if we have to get help? My bright son, who's on the debate team, who's got this bright future ahead of him, what happens if he's stigmatized with mental illness? There's almost, I think, sometimes an urge. Again, we want to help our kids and coddle them and protect them and make sure that the world doesn't hurt them.
Right.
And that might actually hurt them.
We are going to, I got to hit the break.
Okay.
I want you to stay because that's the conversation. Are we, you know, there's a whole conversation about helicopter parenting and how that hurts kids, and you see it in their futures as they're unable to even go apply for jobs, never mind get jobs, never mind show up to the jobs on time.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe some of these other things that take place from the total lack of parenting. Cam Edwards, our guest from NRAnews.com. Keep it right here. This is Tony Katz Tonight. Tony Katz Tonight. 800-571-9422, locally 317-239-9393. Online, TonyKatz.com. Loretta there in the control room here at NRA News. Just, I don't know if you people can see this, the watching. I don't want to show you the numbers, but these are my lottery tickets. This is my lottery ticket for tonight. My 10 numbers right here. Cam Edwards. Mm-hmm. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. $636 million and counting.
Yeah, I've not bought my lottery tickets. I guess I'll have to do that on the way home. And not
it's tonight.
Oh, it's too
it's
late.
Tonight. I win
too
late. Tonight. If the it rolls over, it's like $42 billion after that.
I know. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Good luck. I won't. I tend to...
You won't win? Or
no,
you,
I won't
you
buy tickets. I won't buy tickets. I have not bought tickets, apparently.
Right.
Now telling me it's too late.
I think you still have like 10 minutes left.
So,
or 4 minutes left.
So we
like
can either talk now, or I can say goodnight to you.
And go get your tickets.
And I'm going to stay here.
No. You're going to rest right here.
Listen, I want you to know this is how much I value our friendship, that I'm going to pass up the opportunity to win more than $600 million tonight so I can stay here on the program with you.
I appreciate
unless you're
that.
Telling me you'd rather I go.
I don't want you to go. My point is I'm not sharing. And I think that's the point that really needs to be driven home at this moment.
I would expect nothing less from a cold-hearted, greedy, selfish conservative like yourself.
Thank you.
You
forgot racist.
Even as you literally occupy my
I'm sitting
my
in your chair
studio,
here at the NRA
looking
News
at
studios.
Me and telling me, I will not share with you, guy who is sharing with me right now. Okay.
Parenting.
Yes,
which I know is a hot button subject for you, and we talk about
somewhat
these,
of a hobby for me as well.
Yeah, well, we talk about these shootings.
There was an article that I discussed a few weeks back, which discussed helicopter parenting. And one of the things that they're seeing in kids now is that they're unable to cope. And you've got these people in school, right? And they're unable, or you know, in college, and they're unable to do laundry and homework on the same day because they don't know how to budget their time, and
right.
they don't know how to apply for a job, and they're 30. I mean, these aren't you know, 15-year-olds. What is it that we've done? What has happened in America that has created? We've gone from the greatest generation that 17-year-olds were lying to join the military,
right,
to protect their nation, and now we have kids who can't they can't go on a job interview without mommy.
It's very simple. I think it's very simple anyway. Somewhere along the line, and I'm not quite sure when it happened, because my mom was 40, my dad was 48 when I was born. So all my friends were the children of boomers, and I was the children of the greatest generation.
Right.
And that makes a difference, I think. But somewhere along the way, parenting became about making sure your kid has a great childhood and has a wonderful experience growing up, rather than your job as a parent making sure that when your kid becomes an adult, they are a responsible adult. That's the goal of a parent. It's not about making your kid feel wonderful when they're six. It's about making sure they're competent when they're 26. And somewhere along the way, we've lost sight of that. And when you're thinking long term, when you're looking at your child and you're actually able to see them as an adult, that perspective, I think, forces you to parent a little bit differently. I'm not afraid to tell my child no. I'm not afraid to deal with my child crying and being upset because I said no. I also am not afraid to talk to my kid and explain why I'm telling them no.
But is there something wrong with wanting your kids to have a good childhood?
No. But keep in mind that what is going to make a 6-year-old happy,
right,
and what's going to make a 12-year-old happy is not necessarily something that's going to lead to a competent adult. You know, we live in a society of instant gratification.
Yes, we live in the broadband world. I talked about that many, many times.
Right.
I totally agree.
I think it's very important that our kids not always get everything that they want when they want it. Now, most of us, that's not really a problem anyway, right?
Right.
We can't afford to inflict our children with affluenza. But, you know, I know parents, gosh, I can't name names.
All right, but if you could name names, would it sound like Paige?
It would sound like Schmoody.
Would it sound like Paige, or would it sound like Holly Bacon? If you could name names.
Oh, well, no. But I know a couple whose child is 8 now.
Right.
This kid has, for the past 5 years, refused to eat anything, and I mean literally anything other than chicken nuggets and applesauce. Now, you know what? When you let your child have that much control over you, mm-hmm, the purchaser of the food, there's an issue, right? Helicopter parenting is one thing. The inability to parent, because sometimes that means your child is going to be upset with you, and that hurts your feelings. That's a whole other neuroses. You know, I understand helicopter parenting. I've got 5 kids. How I treated my first child, and
far different.
Absolutely. I think the biggest cure for helicopter parenting, make more babies.
Right.
You need more children, and then you won't be a helicopter parent. So go on, Tony, play the baby making music again, and let's
Paige,
do what we can to encourage and inspire.
Paige, play it up.
Make
it happen, because we're going to help people make babies tonight.
A revolt against a reformation. It's not even a role. A reformation of the helicopter parents.
We're talking with Cam Edwards, by the way, the host of NRA News, NRANews.com. And I'm with you, by the way. You shouldn't think that I'm not with you.
Okay.
On the idea that you have to say no to kids, because being a parent is far different than being a friend. It's not friendship. It is something far different. But you brought up the greatest generation. You brought up the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said for many, many years that the baby boomers are the single worst generation in history. They have ruined everything. These selfish, greedy, awful human beings. But as someone once explained it to me, that the baby boomers took place. They happened because the greatest generation, as they are called,
mm-hmm,
saw so much horrificness
Remember, coming out of the Depression mm-hmm. and into World War II, they never wanted their children to see what they saw. So you could argue that the Greatest Generation are actually the worst parents because of what they saw, they went completely in the other direction. There's got to be a certain level of balance, doesn't there?
There does. Now, I think the and again, coming from parents who were of the older generation or the Greatest Generation, maybe there is something to that. The you know, my mom grew up in Oklahoma during the tail end of the Great Depression and could tell some pretty horrific stories about what life was like. And I know that for her raising me in Oklahoma, you know, she took great pride in giving me a middle class upbringing. However, I think, you know, we're also really, what, we're 45 years removed from 1968. I mean,
right.
You know, I think some of this actually is once again, shockingly enough, the boomer generation, unwilling or unable to take responsibility for their own actions. You know what? The oldest of the boomers are old enough to retire now, and they're still claiming victim status. Daddy made me do it. Mommy made me do it. And it was they just loved me too much, Tony.
Which is amazing that anybody loves them at all.
At some point, you have to grow up and take responsibility for your own actions and your generation's actions. We're going to be responsible for Ethan Hawke, you and I are, forever and ever and ever. You know that, right?
We're going to be responsible for Ethan Hawke?
And Reality Gattaca? Bites. And I was thinking more Reality Bites. And
oh, okay.
That's
interesting. We both went to our dark secret place right there. Cam Edwards, the host of NRA News, NRANews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Cam Edwards. Thank you for letting me use the studio. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Best of luck to you in the lottery, of which you'll give me half if you win.
Right? It was a pleasure meeting you, stranger. Keep it here. This is Tony Katz Tonight. Out here. If I had the long hair, which none of you knew me when I had the hair down to my, you know, that area. It was down to that area. I could headbang this out. Tony Katz Tonight. 800-571-9422, locally 317-239-9393. Thanks to Cam Edwards. I want to dig into that, and you know, it's not my normal talk, but it's one I enjoy, and I love the opportunity to share it with all of you. And I know we had people on the phones who wanted to talk about, you know, they still want to talk about whether or not I'm drunk, and what's going on with Pence. Are any of those people still there, Paige?
We have Frank still on the line, but Frank wanted to talk. He wanted to talk about the small business property tax.
Oh, no, go ahead. Frank, you line two. First of all, thank you for holding. I appreciate it. Welcome to Tony Katz Tonight. What is your issue with the business property tax there regarding Boeing?
Well, it's extremely punitive, as you say.
Thank you.
I have a little bitty small business in my garage, a little bitty machine shop. And I wind up paying approximately a little over $200 a year just for the privilege of being able to buy material without paying sales tax on it because I don't have any retail customers. All my customers are, you know, industry people.
Right.
And so I wind up paying rent on my machines every year, twice a year.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how that works.
Yeah, and after 10 years, that's $2,000 plus. And, you know, I don't see why I should be penalized because I'm in business. And here's the kicker. I bought my machines before I started the business. And until I started the business, I didn't have to pay any personal property taxes on them.
Right. And now... that you turned it into a business. Now you're penalized for creating a business,
right?
So again, it goes back to the I go back to Milton Friedman and I say it clearly. That there can be people out there who can argue that it's unfair that one corporation gets a tax break but another one doesn't. It's unfair that, you know, these corporations think they can just get off so easy because they don't have to pay these taxes. What about their contribution to society? And the reason I bring that up is to say that taxes are not a contribution to society. They never have been. The whole country went without an income tax before 1913. Can someone tell me the good that has come from the income tax? I mean, give me one good, one universal good in the United States that has come from the income tax. The income tax has divided us. It has created class warfare. It has been used as a wedge against us and as a cudgel upon our heads. And what you're talking about, all you did was take your knowledge and your know-how and your investment. And you said, I can turn this into a business. And the state said, hey, when you do that, you now owe us for the property you already own. That is horrific. I appreciate the phone call, Frank, and I couldn't agree more that all taxes are punitive, and you shouldn't be treated like that. I, however, don't have to worry about it, Paige, because I hold in my hand the winning lottery tickets.
That's right.
I have 10 numbers here, and in any moment, well, by the way, you can't buy a ticket anymore, ladies and gentlemen. It wouldn't even matter because I have received the winner. But this is happening. Now, do you have any lottery tickets, Paige?
I do not.
You really?
No. I did not go out and buy a lottery ticket. Mike says he has one.
Mike, Sports Mike, has a lottery ticket. Holly Bacon, do you have any lottery tickets?
Mr. Bacon and I got 5 quick picks, and my dad got 5 quick picks.
Okay, so you have 10 total, right? Right now, the jackpot, according to the Chicago Tribune, is at $636 million. Here's the deal, okay? So a lot happened here in order to get these tickets. Cameron Gray sent his darling, dear, loving wife out to get the tickets for me, okay? My money was used. Cam Edwards, who has allowed me to use his studio, has been nearby. Paige does not have any tickets. Sports Mike has some tickets, and Holly Bacon has some tickets. So here is the deal. If I win, I promise to tell you all on a daily basis how much fun I'm having with this money.
So are you going to stay on? You'll stay on the air if you get the money?
Oh, only to tell you about how much fun I'm having with the money. Here's what will happen. If I win, the show will no longer be about politics. The show will be about things I buy on Amazon for 3 hours a night.
Can we rename it that? Just things I buy on Amazon with Tony right. Katz tonight?
Right. It'll be called the Tony Buying Extravaganza. with your host, Tony Katz, and it will literally be me in like different outfits that I bought every day and furs, and I'll have like the Flava Flav gold clock.
You have like a pimp
clock.
Cup.
You need
like
a what?
You need like a little like what did he call it? Like a crunk juice cup.
What are you?
There was a rapper. Yes, he had. But what did he call it? I can't remember. Anyways, he had a like bedazzled. Out of your mind, chalice.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'll buy 2 of them. What will I care? It's good. One for each fist. Thank you, Cameron Gray. Absolutely what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell you about all the things that I'm buying. You know what else I'm going to buy? I'm going to buy the station. I'm going to buy WIBC, and I'm going to rename it TONY. And if the FCC gives me a problem, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy the FCC. Tell me I can't name my own station after me. It's going to be terrific. Oh, no, here's the deal. If I win, and I say this on the air, and I say it now, if I win, I will not share it equally. Screw that. you're all just pathetic if you think I'm doing that. Paige, Holly, Sports Mike, Cameron Gray, and Cam Edwards, you each get $10 million.
Oh,
that's your deal.
I'll be quiet. I'll take that and be quiet.
If I win. If Sports Mike wins, we kill him, drop him in the back of an alley, and steal his ticket.
He's just shaking his head over there.
But here's the deal. You can't tell anybody.
Well, we're all in on it, except that everybody now knows.
And if I win, I will take $10 million, and I will throw the greatest street party Indianapolis has ever seen.
Ooh.
right there on Monument Circle. Right, it will be nuts.
And we could broadcast it live.
I will not buy the Colts. I was just asked if I would buy the Colts. No, we will quite literally have the world's largest pork tenderloin fry. We will set a world record. That's what we're going to do. If I win, it's going to be insane. I will do this, though. I will buy a house in Indianapolis. I will do that, too. I don't know if I'll live there, but I'll have one, and it'll be great. And people would drive by and go, that's Tony Katz's house. Does he live there? Nobody knows. That's the beauty of my plan. Oh, but this is coming up any second. I'm looking forward to it. And when we return, we'll have the results, of course, of the jackpot. We'll have some hysteria on the living wage, your phone call, and, of course, if no one wins, dreams about what you'll do with the $1 billion jackpot. Keep it here, everybody. I am Tony Katz, and this is Tony Katz Tonight.